presents a different picture of Psalm 23, doesn't it? It doesn't present a life of complete satisfaction without any effort whatsoever. The shepherd is leading sheep on difficult terrain, such that the food that is essential for their survival can only be found a clump of grass at a time. And as they begin to do this, they have to do it in the midst of inclement weather, winds still pounding the side of the hills, dust storms that rise up in the midst of, again, a lack of greenery to protect themselves from the dust. But just enough for them to be fed. And just enough for them to be fed in such a way that when does a sheep lie down? When they've had their fill. In the midst of trying to understand this text, the biblical green pasture is a shepherd leading you on a hillside through tough conditions, trying to find the food for this day. Where have you heard that before? Give us this day our daily bread. To trust in the shepherd and to not want is to follow where the shepherd leads. And you can imagine in what should be now formulating in your own mind's eye a new imagery. You following a shepherd and yet not really seeing the wisdom of being on the side of a rocky hill with such sparse food. Really? This is where you're leading me? But the trust that's meant to be enveloped in the life of a believer following the Lord is to be this very thing. Is to follow wherever the Lord leads. Maybe not seeing how where you're being led fits in the scheme of God's goodness and your joy. That God is really leading you in your best interests. But this is why I like this text. This seems more real, doesn't it? This seems more like real life. This seems more like the very thing that you can really get your minds around. This isn't some idyllic cartoon. This is God as your shepherd leading you for food for the day and trusting that on the rough landscape in which he's leading you, he will see you through to the next clump of grass. I like that. It changes how we see it. It leads me beside still waters. Okay, we're still in the same kind of topography here, so don't get your mind's eye around some kind of jungle tropical paradise. Finding a pool of water is difficult and hard to find. The rivers of Israel did not run powerfully strong. Now, shepherds would lead them as well to raging rivers. This would take them down. It's the very thing they should not be exposed to. But these pools of water, these little springs popping up from the ground are, again, a wonderful sign that water that's needed for the day will be found by the shepherd. It'll take them, after eating the food, to find the water to nourish them. It's no surprise that when we did the Gospel of John leading up to this sermon series that Jesus described himself as the water of life and the bread of life. It's the very thing that we need to get through each and every day. And the shepherd is the very thing that is leading the sheep to daily bread, to daily water, and providing it in a powerful way. But there's another image biblically in terms of these still waters, is this requirement to be still, to stop, and to rest, to take in the water that the Lord gives. How many of you are in a frantic pace right now? How many of you are not slowly and methodically moving from one clump of grass to the next, but I don't know. If a video were taking of you and you were a sheep, what would you look like on the side of the hill? Do you have time to stop? Do you have time to reflect? Do you have time to think? Do you have time to focus on things that matter? Now again, it's not said that this is something that is done all day long in the massive amount of water and grass that we might have in an American context of farming. Israeli farming. When you come to a pool of water, do you take the time to stop and to drink? These two things are essentially important because when we get to the line that says, "He refreshes my soul," you can't skip the first two pieces. Refreshing of the soul, biblically, is healing. It's not just merely a tune-up. It's far more than that. It's taking that which is in you that's broken, that's struggling, that's been damaged, and meant to bring restoration to it. And the restoration of the soul, again, isn't the outcome of an idyllic picture you have in your head. It's simply trusting the shepherd to lead you on the rocky terrain of your life, to provide you with the food that you need, and at times to stop and to drink the quiet waters that he puts in front of you. That he will lead you to those quiet waters that you can't find on your own. That you simply don't have the intestinal fortitude to figure out where they are. Only God the shepherd can lead you there. And as such, his intent is to begin the restoration of your soul. And you have to begin to have these honest conversations with the Lord. What is the state of my soul? Where am I right now? Have I covered up my soul with layers and layers and layers of expectations of God that are false and can never come to fruition? In other words, yes, I will say this. Is your soul covered in such a way that it has been shriveling because of bad theology? God is my Santa Claus rather than my shepherd. With God as my Santa Claus, I just sit under a tree and I open up what I want. With God as my shepherd, I follow wherever he leads. Is my soul such that the busyness of my life is causing it to struggle in ways that when I look in the mirror, I don't see what I like? I don't like how I'm behaving. I don't understand why I'm struggling. You need to start following the shepherd where he leads. His intent is to refresh our soul. His intent is to restore our soul. His intent is to change things within us, deep within. That is to say that we have an idea that the restoration of our souls is the coming together of all the external circumstances to present a package of my life that I can say, now I am good, now I am satisfied. And precisely the opposite is what the Lord is doing, is that no matter what's going on the outside and the inside, deep within, I can be satisfied with the Lord. I can be trusting in Him even when it doesn't make sense. That I can be somehow with the Apostle Paul, who prayed for something very, very painful to be taken from him 3 times. The only thing he was promised was, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. There are times when that text makes me really mad. And yet, what a beautiful thing that text is there. To know and to experience something similar to the Apostle Paul, that sometimes the only answer is, my grace is sufficient for you. Which is why the Lord is intent on guiding us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's a much larger picture going on than me and my needs. There's a much larger picture going on than me kind of judging God's performance on my behalf. He wants us to walk along with him on his paths of righteousness. He does want us to, as Jesus will say, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. We like the added to you as well part, but the seeking after the kingdom of God first is the much tougher thing. Particularly when there's so much uncertainty. Particularly when we don't know how it's going to turn out. Particularly when we've experienced enough pain along the way to say, why bother anymore? This is a text for real life, friends. This is from David, who himself was the shepherd boy. David was out there on the cold nights. David was out there in the dark trying to shield from wolves his own flock of his father. David was out there at night desperately trying to find the wadi of water that the sheep desperately needed at the right moment. David experienced the struggles of that very life, and yet he has the imagery here to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who makes me lie down in green pastures. He's the one who leads me beside quiet waters. He's the one who's intent on refreshing my soul when it's shriveled and it's struggling within. He's the one who is going to guide me on the right path. And I can hardly see 5 steps in front of me. I know the trail, the sheep trail, is going around the ridge, and I don't know what's behind it. But I'm going to lead. I'm going to follow his lead, because he's going to lead me there, and it's for his name's sake. It's for his glory. It's for his truth. This just seems a whole lot more real to me, learning from a Middle East farmer. The challenge for you has been and will continue to be that you memorize these verses in your own life, and to begin the process of trying to believe what you may yet as yet not really believe and trust. But to say it time and time again, even when it doesn't make sense, faith should say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I don't kid you at all to say that's the hardest thing for your heart to truly believe. It is. But it is the heart of faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. For this shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He'll help me find the sprig of green that I need. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me pause, see what he's up to. He refreshes my soul. He does something in me that I cannot do for myself. And therefore, he alone has to guide me down a path, not of my choosing, but of his choosing, all for his name's sake. For he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So when you're struggling and when you're feeling frantic and you're stressed and you're wondering how you're going to make it through the day, say Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. Allow the good shepherd to guide you. He knows what you need. He'll find the green pastures, and the quiet waters are much closer than you think. Let's pray.